Hello, and welcome to my show, Nutrition for Health, Perfect Weight and Wellbeing on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. I'm Dora Walsh, and I've been working in the field of natural and functional medicine for over 15 years. I'm a qualified BANT registered nutritionist and nutritional therapist, and I support my clients to overcome chronic health concerns like hormonal problems, digestive issues, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, autoimmune conditions, skin concerns, no immunity, and more. You can find out more about me on the internet. Also follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Well, this week, we're going to be talking about mental health and menopause. Now, this is a really big topic that we're seeing more and more of in the news. Women are speaking out. It was a bit of a taboo subject in the past. And to be honest, we didn't know much about it. But with a plethora of information, it's really important that we get correct information and also that we don't scare ourselves. But if you're coming up to the menopause, maybe you're perimenopausal, it's good to equip yourself with the tools and techniques and the understanding that can really help you sail through that time. It doesn't have to be as difficult as people are painting it, and how to support yourself on all levels, and particularly your mental health, because that's what we're going to be talking about, mental health and menopause. The menopause brings many changes. It's the time when a woman has her last menstrual period, and it's preceded by a number of years of perimenopause. So maybe you're going through perimenopause now, you're finding your periods are less regular, you know, you have more PMT, maybe you're feeling a bit low, or maybe you've finished your periods now and you've gone through the menopause, and it's 1 year of not having any periods. It's really the definition for that. And you're feeling low, or you feel it's affected your mental health, you feel it's affected your femininity. We've got Helen James on the show this week to talk about it. She's a registered nutritional therapist. She's also qualified in neuro-linguistic programming. She's a Reiki practitioner as well. And her website is www.hjnutrition.com. You can also follow her on Facebook at Helen James Healthy Happy, and also on Instagram. And on Instagram, it's Helen_James_Healthy_Happy. Welcome to the show, Helen. It's great to have you.
Hi, thank you.
It's so good to talk to you again. I know you came on many years ago. This time we're going to be talking about a totally different topic. We're talking about mental health and menopause. And this is a really big topic at the moment. Can you tell us a bit about how you came to be a nutritional therapist, an NLP practitioner, and your interest in this area? And how are you supporting people with menopause?
So I've come to be a nutritional therapist from my love of food. So basically, it was, how can I be healthy but still eat all this delicious food that we have around us? So I've been making recipes, sharing those out for many, many years. I've always been one for fusion cooking, and just, you know, I was just so interested in cooking and eating. And sugar was a really big, big thing for me. I was addicted to sugar, and I had been since my childhood. And it wasn't until I started seeing people around me, my parents suffering with diabetes, blood pressure, heart disease, aunties and uncles, and me putting that link together, that what we eat does affect our health. Then I hit perimenopause, and I hit it badly. So I ended up in hospital having a blood transfusion because I had lost so much menstrual blood. And it was all down to hormonal balances, as I found out later from studying nutrition. So it was a bit of a wake up call to me to do something to look after myself.
It's people wouldn't expect that to happen in perimenopause, would they? So I mean, we know sometimes the periods can get a bit heavy, but ending up in hospital having a blood transfusion, that's really serious.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't know what was happening to me then at all. I was just under the influence of all the doctors and nurses, they were just putting me on hormones, which didn't agree with me.
Right, I got you. And before you were in perimenopause, or before you went through menopause, if you have, I don't know, What did you think it was? What do you think women think menopause is?
Well, I thought, sort of looking at my mum's generation, it was just that your period stopped and you might have some hot flushes, because that was kind of joked about when I was growing up. Oh yeah, hot flushes, menopause. But then in terms of mental health, I had heard that some people changed after menopause, did get depressed. And I actually thought it was their own thinking and their loss of their reproduction age, maybe a loss of femininity if they've stopped having periods. And of course, that they're getting old. And I just thought it was a depression of thinking like that, not an actual depression from the inside out. Does that make sense?
Like it was just, oh, I'm a bit upset about this and I'm a bit upset about that, rather than that's your true depression. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
From what now as a practitioner working with women and also as an NLP practitioner as well as a nutritional therapist, what are the stages of menopause that about now and how do they affect mental health?
So we now know that there are four stages of menopause, and we start with like an early perimenopausal state where we might see just a few little things that are different. So we might still have regular cycles, but we might start noticing that we're putting on a bit of extra weight and we're not doing anything different. And we might start to lose a bit of sleep. We might get less confident. So that's what happens in like perimenopause, as we start to lose progesterone, which is ultimately what happens first, is the progesterone, it drops off quite quickly when we get into perimenopause itself. And with that drop, we can see links to our mood and insomnia.
Okay. So that starts at what age would you say?
So it can start from late 30s. And it's only when you look back that you can kind of piece your own journey back, which is what I had to do. I was thinking in my late 30s, I was really, really active. And I remember getting a muffin top, which I still have and I don't care. But that's when it first started. I was putting weight on. I hadn't changed anything about what I was eating. I was like, why am I putting weight on? But I kind of just thought, oh, maybe I am eating a bit too many cakes, but nothing more than I used to. So, yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, as you mentioned, at this stage, that weight gaining, you mentioned the sleep and the confidence, all of this can affect mental health, can't it?
Yes, definitely. So we all know if we're not getting enough sleep and we're tired, that we can be more irritable. But also we all tend to see our glass half empty than half full. So it's kind of a bit of a spiral, but we don't notice the start of it. And it's not until it could be a few years later until you actually sort of have quite poor mental health.
And do you think that women experience anxiety? And because I've seen sometimes women coming to my clinic and when they're going through this process, they say they feel more anxious. They feel they can't deal with stress as well as they used to. They're not as resilient. What are your thoughts on that?
Definitely. Yeah. So that loss of progesterone, and then when we get fluctuating estrogen, it has us all over the place, but the anxiety is real. So whereas we might be someone who was quite happy talking to people in social situations at parties or doing presentations at work, we suddenly get this niggling feeling that we can't do it anymore. And that causes anxiety. It's almost like a self-doubt. So we lose self-confidence. And that makes us question, what's going on? Who am I? What's happening to me?
Is our personality, honestly, so linked to our hormones that a natural process such as menopause can totally change how we feel?
Definitely. And I've seen it with lots of my clients. Yeah. And they don't relate it to the hormones. They just think at an age where this is happening to me, or they can't actually pinpoint it to anything. So I've had women come to me saying that they're broken, which is awful.
This is really interesting. Now, what about if somebody has really looked after their health from a young age and supported their menstrual cycle, worked out, eaten healthily? Is it possible that they could go through this natural stage in life without suffering these side effects? Menopause.
It's really hard to say because I don't know many people that have done that. In this day and age, to have been really looking after themselves, or think that they might, people might think that they've looked after themselves and eaten well, exercised, but we can't do much about the stress that's around us in this day and age, I believe. And of course, we do have a little bit of genetics in play. So when we talk about functional medicine, we talk about the whole picture of genetics, the diet, we eat, the stress all from our environment, from pollutants, from emotional stress. That put all together with our genetics makes everybody unique. So it's really hard to say sort of in a broad term if we had look after ourselves. So we look after everything else, but the actual hormone changes, we don't have much to do with that. And we don't know how much of that is down to genetics of how we process those hormones. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got you. It doesn't paint a very good picture, Helen.
No, I just thought. Yeah. But we can do things to help ourselves and we will get onto that. But just wanted to touch on, because people don't connect the dots up here. So yes, so you might be feeling anxious. Stresses are getting on top of you. There might be a lack of identity almost about you. But I really want to talk about what I've noticed in the last 2 years. So I'm 3 years post-menopause almost. And my self-confidence and anxiety has been okay because I've been learning and developing myself through lots of different tools. So I think I can say that that's all right for me. Not brilliant, but I could definitely tell where I've been self-doubting and questioning things. But this has really, really shocked me. And it was this just pure loss of joy and apathy. And I've had clients say the same things to me as well, that they just really are quite apathetic. They don't know why they're getting out of bed in the morning. And it's not a depression as such, but it's just like this feeling of meh, as the kids would say. Yeah. And that was quite shocking for me to sort of have that feeling. It's like, where's my joy gone? And I described it to somebody recently. It's like someone has taken the color out of my life, and it's just really quite sad.
Yeah. And other women have told you the same. Is that right?
They have, yeah. And I believe that has come sort of through the stages of perimenopause when we actually have low progesterone and low estrogen. And that seems to be the stage when this apathy comes in and the loss of joy. But I am going to put down in there as well. So the people that are coming to me recently have also been through the lockdown. So how much has lockdown affected us where we are now, women going through the menopause? Because we've all had to go through the last few years of this unprecedented event that we've all had.
Yeah, that would have created a massive stress. And as we know, stress impacts our hormones, and that's not good, especially for women going through these types of transitions.
Yeah, and I think also having that freedom taken away from us, has, even though we've got it back now, it has left something in ourselves. And I'm having to teach myself and the women around us just to do little things that bring joy to ourselves, whatever that might be for you. But that is down to the umbrella of self-care, which I'm teaching a lot at the moment.
I love what you say about that, because we all have a responsibility to ourselves, not only to our families, but to ourselves. And we need to, as you mentioned, in these big transitions, right, if somebody is going through apathy or a loss of joy or that feeling of the abyss or void, then yeah, however hard it is, it's good to grab onto something and to do those little things that make us feel better. They may be very simple. It might be having a lunch with a friend or a coffee with a friend, a healthy meal, just to bring some lights to our life.
Yeah, definitely. And I do see women reaching for alcohol more through the menopause because that is their comfort blanket. We all know that too much alcohol is not healthy and it's not healthy for hormones. So it's something that we have to work together with trying to reduce that because it does become a crutch. It's if we're not feeling that great and we just want that nice glass of white wine or whatever it is at the end of the day, that seems to be quite a big thing. And again, in lockdown, people were drinking more.
Right. I've got you. I do remember that when I'm a mom, but when my child was younger, I a lot of the moms used to reach out for alcohol at night once the kids were in bed as well.
And yeah.
The trajectory for coming up to menopause or perimenopause. Yeah. So it's people do reach out for these crutches, but I think the healthier we are mentally, emotionally, spiritually, we realize that we don't need these crutches. We have to find another way to feel good. And that is all about personal development, isn't it?
Yes. And that's where I think the NLP can really help, the neuro-linguistic programming. It really looks into our behaviors and our thoughts around those emotions and looking at the belief system of what is actually driving that behavior. So it's really, really good to try and get an understanding of why we're doing those things and what then we can change to become happier, but with that health in as the underlying, to have health at its core for anything is to keep ourselves healthy.
Yeah, definitely. How do other life factors like children or elderly parents and balancing work and life all impact this process of menopause?
Yeah, so I'm not sure how we do a lot as women anyway, looking after children. We may have elderly parents. We're full-time working, and then we've got all the children's commitments and needs. I think we really are juggling everything. And I think in years gone by, women would have had the children younger, so maybe they would have already flown the nest. Well, we're going through that menopause, and maybe there's that a little bit more work-life balance there would have been. I'm not sure. It's really hard to say, but as women in this time, we do have a lot going on, and it's really, really hard to actually put ourselves and look after ourselves first so we can do all of that. We get caught up in other people's needs and thinking that we have to put those needs first.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, we're going to be back talking all about menopause and mental health after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on my weekly show, Nutrition for Health, Perfect Weight and Wellbeing. I'm here with Helen Jane. She's a registered nutritional therapist, neuro-linguistic programming practitioner, and also a Reiki practitioner. You can find out more about her on her website, hjnutrition.com, and you'll also find her on Facebook and Instagram. And this week, we're talking about menopause and mental health, and we've talked about so many things, the physical and the mental symptoms, that feeling of anxiety and the loss of stress resilience, and how women also, in some cases, are reaching out for alcohol as a comfort blanket, as well as that need to develop oneself from the inside out in order to be able to deal with the changes and that sense of apathy. Now, Helen, can you give a bit of hope to our listeners today? Is it possible to transition through this stage healthily without being so affected by this change in hormones? And I will go on to talk about what we can do as well, and whether this is a wake-up call to listen to our bodies and change some habits.
Yeah, so it isn't all doom and gloom. I think the more menopause is talked about, the better. We still need to get the message out that it's more than just hot flushes. So any little things that, I mean, there's about 30, 50 odd symptoms of menopause that are listed now. But if you're starting to feel not like yourself, then it probably is a sign of perimenopause. And it's then getting the right help at the right time. So HRT is very beneficial. I'm not anti-HRT at all. And it is, if you can take it, have a chat with a GP. There are lots of different forms. I would always go for the body identical forms. But it's not the be-all and end-all. It doesn't fix everything. So we still do have to listen to our inner wisdom and look after ourselves. And that might mean reducing your sugar and reducing your stress. So those two things are at the top of the list when it comes to the menopause, because with the, what I call wonky hormones of perimenopause, these two hormones, which are cortisol, which is stress, and insulin, sugar, I call them the king and queen of hormones, because if we don't address those, we can't then help our wonky hormones in perimenopause.
I love what you say. I would always like, when we were studying nutrition, is that the more you look after your adrenal glands, and cortisol is related to the adrenal gland, the better we can actually menopause, as we have that switch from making our hormones in the ovaries to the transition to making those hormones in the adrenals that need to be able to take over. So
again, exactly,
well, we can support those stress glands, those two glands above the kidney, to be able to manufacture those hormones that we need, the better the experience we have. And what I see myself, and I'm sure you're the same, Helen, is that women, and maybe they have had a lot of stress, maybe they've not looked after themselves, the adrenal glands, the stress glands are not in a good shape. And the transition, therefore, is difficult.
So that's right.
That would be key, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And a lot of women do suffer what we just term burnout, so that they just become completely fatigued with the stress that's around them, and then the changes in perimenopause. So looking after that energy cycle, looking after your adrenals and your stress hormones, it's all top priority. And for me, it was reducing sugar. And that's such a big thing for me.
It's not easy to do, is it?
No. So if I can do it, though, anybody can, because I am a self-confessed sugar addict. And it really did mess up my hormones.
So once you gave up sugar, how quickly do you feel you felt a difference in your hormonal balance?
So I didn't go cold turkey. That just seemed really hard for me. And then a lot of my clients say the same thing. So I switched to natural sugars and then started lowering it. But I did feel that I was more in control of my menstrual cycles, and I had more mental clarity.
Right.
That was a big thing for me, because I was always tired. I think a lot of women, if you ask them how they are, they'll either say bye, or they'll say tired all the time, but that's me. It's almost like, that's me. I'm supposed to be tired all the time, or there's nothing I can do. I am just tired all the time.
Right. And so when who are our listeners that are listening today and want to take this on board in terms of what you're advising and what you're saying. When you talk about sugars, tell us about what you mean by sugars. Obviously, we know about the sugar, the white sugar that maybe people add to their tea or sweets and confectionery. Did you cut that down initially and then switch that to natural sugars?
Yes, definitely. So I did a progressive switch over. So I'd stopped buying chocolate bars and I bought natural sort of flapjacky oat bars. I don't want to really give out any brands, but a lot of the date bars and things like that. So they weren't chocolate and laden with additives, but they were still sweetened with fruits, dried fruits and nuts, but it was a little bit more balancing. So as nutritionists, we know that if we add protein and healthy fats to something sugary, it slows down the sugar response, the blood glucose going into our blood and giving us the sugar highs and the sugar lows. So we term that as balancing our blood sugar. So that is key. And then I progressed into actually lowering my carbohydrate intake. So with that, I mean, I was eating less of the white processed flour products, so things like pasta and bread, because I was having almost similar bodily responses to those as I was with sugar. So, and they do go into the same molecule. They'd still make glucose and they can still hit our blood at a quick rate. Looking at just my overall intake of the sweet, sugary foods, cakes, chocolates, and reducing those, and then looking at what else I could look at in terms of balancing my blood sugar, which was the pastas and the breads and the white rice. So I still eat all of that, but just less of it.
I've got reduced the amount, and I guess you change the type. Just for people that are listening today, when we talk about white pasta and white rice, as Helen said, it behaves in the same way in our body as sugar, and it's really refined. So it stimulates the body in a way where it creates an impact on the hormones, our insulin. Insulin is a fat storage hormone. So for women that maybe are struggling with weight around perimenopause and menopause, it's not good to be stimulating insulin too much. But as you mentioned, you've cut right down on that. And how did that impact? I know you said you felt clearer. A lot of women have foggy brain, foggy head at life. But how did it affect your mental health in general and the anxiety?
Yeah, so I was less. So when you have a sugar high, you get a blood sugar low. And that's when I was getting my irritability. I couldn't handle little things. I was hangry, I suppose. And so that sort of helped just level me out a little bit.
I've got you. Okay. And obviously you reduced carbohydrate intake. Did you increase your fat and protein intake?
Yes, I did. So yeah, we're not talking about taking things out of diet. We want to be putting all the good stuff back in. And a lot of women have grown up in the era of fat is bad. So it's a re-education to my clients that we need fat. We need healthy fats from plant sources, things like avocados, extra virgin olive oil, nuts and seeds. So I was putting all of that good stuff in, but also looking at my protein. So every meal, and this is what I teach to my clients, is where's my protein? Make sure that you've got protein, because that helps blood sugar balance as well. And it can help with cravings and it can help with weight loss, ultimately, if that's your goal.
Yeah. And so you work with your clients. Do you work with just menopausal women?
I work with women of any age, but they are mostly perimenopausal or postmenopausal. And people don't come to me with just menopause symptoms. They have a whole lot of other stuff going on. So food intolerances, IBS, so the gut's not in a good way, skin conditions. Everything's all linked, isn't it, Dora? As we know, it's all linked and hormones come into play there as well.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, when we see a client that comes, often they'll come just for the major thing that's bothering them, which may often is the outside, like the weight or the skin.
Yeah.
But we like to piece things together and understand every piece of the puzzle because we know that everything is connected. And often those people that come with the weight or the skin problem, really, there's a hormonal imbalance. They're in perimenopause or they're adolescent or they're menopausal. And we need to see how we can support those hormones. And it might come down to supporting the digestion first or the liver so that the person can metabolize the hormones well, or changing, as you said, the composition of food, the amount of carbohydrates, fats or protein. It's really specific for each person, isn't it?
Exactly. So we do. We look at what's going on for that person in front of us. But there are lots of things that we can do sort of generally to help ourselves just with reducing the sugar, but looking after our stress. So stress management is key here in perimenopause. And it's quite hard for women to take the time out to do that. They can't see how they can take time out for themselves because they are just so busy. But even if it's just 15 minutes, if it's 15 minutes that you can get up in the morning a little bit earlier and go for a walk in nature, or 15 minute meditation, or a 15 minute gentle stretch in the morning, anything like that can help with stress management.
How are you supporting your mental health? Now you say you're 2 years post-menopause now. How did you support your mental health and your well-being?
So I have always done some yoga. I can't say that I'm doing it regularly, but I will dip in and out to yoga. And every time I do it, I'm like, why don't I do this every day? But I do meditate and I do journal as well every day. So I am writing out my thoughts, and maybe then that helps me question what's going on. But getting outside every day, and I'm lucky that I have a little doggy now. I didn't always. She's only two. But even before then, I had to go out in the garden. So I love gardening. So I'm always in the garden in the spring, summer and autumn, not so much in the winter. But it's just amazing to go and see what's changing in nature. And you can do that just by going for a walk around the block.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be going off to the Cotswolds for a luxury weekend in a spa. You could just do that just going down your high street just to get away from it, or the local park or around the
day.
We don't have to make it difficult. This is achievable for everyone, isn't it?
Yeah. And there's so many studies now that are saying that time spent in nature really does affect our brain health.
Yeah. I had another hormonal expert on the show a few years ago, and one of her top tips, and I'd love to get your feedback on this, is getting light in the eyes as well. Like if you're going out in the morning, like say if somebody is, maybe they've done the school run, if they were an older mom, and it's always a scramble. It's very stressful, the school run, getting there on time. She said when she's to drop her kids, then she would take that little walk after to calm down, get the adrenaline down and get some light in her eyes to help balance her hormones and her circadian rhythm.
Yes, that's right. So morning light has got more of the blue wavelength, and that helps our circadian rhythm. Sort of it affects our pineal gland through our eyes. So it kind of resets that hormone, which is melatonin. And then that means we can get on with our day and allow the melatonin to build up slowly throughout the day. And it's going to be its highest in the evening, so it can help us get to sleep. But just by looking at our circadian rhythm, that's the hormonal side. But I think also the nature side and the physiological effect of us being in nature. Okay, it's morning. Because we live in a society where we just light everything up, don't we? We're not in tune with the nature. And I think as women go through perimenopause and menopause, I think they do become more sensitive to the natural light. So that is really important for us to know when it's dark, when it's light, but also the seasons. So we need to get used to slowing down in the winter, just as nature around us does. So I know we're in the middle of February now, but the beginning of January, when everyone's hitting the gym and all of that, it's so hard when it's dark and nature is actually telling you to take it easy. Yes, get some movement in your body. Do something that is healthy and good for you. But let's wait until nature around us wakes up before we make those really big commitments to doing bends or whatever it might be, or creativity as well. That all ties in with this. The creative energy is going to come when there's more light.
Yeah, the light changes how our brain functions. It changes our hormonal production. And as you mentioned, we need to work in symphony with nature and the light. So yeah, I hear what you're saying. People do really, really, really push themselves to the limit.
Mm.
In winter, as you say, training, going to the gym really early, when really your body's screaming out for a bit of extra time under the duvet because it's dark and cold and winter can be pretty harsh. And then we feel that change in energy. And it's in spring when it's so much easier to get up and do these active things, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's working with nature. And when we've got our hormones up and down in perimenopause, I think it's more important to listen to your body. And I think that's what I was talking about when I've said before to people, it's menopause can be like a wake up call to get yourself back into the rhythm of nature. And that might sound quite woo-woo to people, but I do believe that there are layers of healing or getting back in balance. And it's a very important layer that's often ignored is your spirituality, which is why I needed to learn something other than what goes on in the physical body with nutrition and what goes on in the mental thinking with the NLP. The Reiki has taught me about the energy that is all around us and how that ties into our health.
Yeah, because we need to move towards the spiritual aspects of our lives. Hopefully we can do that younger, at a younger age, but especially in perimenopause and menopause, because this is accompanied by a time when there's that change in hormones, increase in anxiety, possibly a bit of depression, apathy, a feeling of a void. And therefore, as you mentioned, the alcohol is not really going to be a good crutch. And we need to go within ourselves and develop some kind of spiritual practice and understanding of ourselves and the universe and energy, how it works, in order to be able to maintain that emotional stability. Because as the hormones are changing, if we can stay very still and connected to that higher power, that spirituality, we can create that mental stability that would almost kind of, in my experience, override the hormonal fluctuation, because that power is actually much stronger.
It is. That's just amazing how you've just put that all together. But yes, it is. That's it. If we can tune into our own energy, our spiritual energy that we all have, it can really help us maneuver this, the rocky road of menopause. But it'll also help you feel more at peace. It'll feel, you feel calmer, you feel happier. And that is health from a different perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, because we're not so attached to the world or what's happening to the body, because we know that we're more than the body. The body's very important. As nutritionists, that's the first thing we're thinking about. And that's how I got into it. Actually, if the body's not working well, we can't think straight. We don't feel good. It's even hard to connect to the spiritual dimension because we're not, the body isn't healthy, but ultimately it works both ways. And yeah, it is. For people that are open to this, and then this may be there or may not, but it's good for everyone to open their eyes to this, that there is another aspect to the body, and it's the spiritual body and its connection to our soul. And the more we develop the soul, as we mentioned, the more we can learn to live with problems, because we can't always solve problems. Sometimes there will be spiritual challenges. But actually, we can sit with those problems. We can work through them. And also, ultimately, we can overcome them as well.
Yeah.
Different perspective of the problem. We learn patience. We can learn to let go. We can learn to let go of women that don't want to let go of their use. And there's often an attachment. And we see this in men and women to a useful body or the attachment or the worship of health. Sometimes health is an attachment. We're attached to be always healthy. And sometimes that isn't possible. That might not always be somebody's reality. But if we're working on the soul, we can actually be happy whatever situation we're in. And this is an amazing gift. And this is absolute maturity, spiritual maturity. And things aren't perfect, that we can live and we can work with life as it is. We don't have to always change everything.
Yeah, I think we're very, very reactive, aren't we, as a people? And I think what the slowing down and being meditative, mindful, can help us not be as reactive and actually think things through, or give that space and time before we react, which more often than not can help us make the right decision rather than a reactive decision that we might regret. So I've learned that in my practice as well, that I can be a lot more calmer about my decisions.
Yeah, definitely. I could, like, the difference between getting an email and writing back immediately. Sometimes that's a big mistake.
Yeah.
Too much emotion. Or maybe just leaving it for a few hours, even a few days, so that you can write out your email and actually then look at it again with a different perspective, where you've moved your own ego from that and then your own thoughts, and you look at it from their perspective and from an outside perspective. And that's the difference between responding and reacting in the moment. Sometimes it just takes a bit of time and patience.
Yeah, and slowing down is key here. And that's what I'm teaching in some of the events that I'm doing. So I'm actually just trained as a cacaoista. So if you're not aware of what...
Cacao ceremonies.
Yeah, that's right. Cacao ceremonies. Women... What, love chocolate? Most women, I would say. 99% women love chocolate.
I'm not for it.
So what better than to actually have a ceremony all about chocolate?
Amazing. Well, we know that chocolate's very good, like pure dark chocolate. Firstly, it's wonderful for the hormones. It's full of magnesium, etc. But tell us about the ceremony and how you feel it can help people.
So first and foremost, it is about slowing down and making the consumption of a cacao drink, which is basically what we're going to be doing, but we're slowing it all down and making it into more of a ritual, which means we're really mindful of what we're doing. Being mindful, but we're also going to be thinking about our emotions and how they are around our heart area. So the chakra around our heart in Reiki is all about trying to open that up so we can love ourselves, which I don't believe that women really take the time or the energy to love ourselves. We love everyone else and look after everybody else, but that's self-love. But just, yeah, so it's going to be women only in my groups, but I will see if men want to come later. But it's just breathing slowly, getting into the space. So we really are slowing down. We might journal as well of how we feel. We might journal afterwards after drinking the cacao. So the cacao is raw chocolate made into a drink, and it's really high in the properties that we all know that dark chocolate has, like you say, the magnesium and lots of other B vitamins. There's lots of iron, all sorts of nutrients packed into this cacao. We're having it in a quite strong format. So it's called a ceremonial grade, and we can really feel it going through our bodies, and it can give people a little bit of a high like caffeine does, just a little one, but it doesn't have the after effects of the caffeine.
Right. Sounds wonderful. And how can people find out more about cacao ceremonies and the other work that you do?
So it's all on my socials and on my website.
On your website. Yeah. So that's hjnutrition.com.
Yeah.
Facebook is at Helen James Healthy Happy. And you have an Instagram account, Helen_James_Healthy_Happy. And there, if anybody's interested, they can find out more about the information on like what you're doing and the cacao ceremony. We're going to be talking a lot more about menopause and mental health and all these little things that you can do to support yourself after a few messages from our commercial partners.
The station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on my weekly show, Nutrition for Health, Perfect Weight and Wellbeing on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. We're talking about menopause and mental health, and I'm here with Helen James. She's a registered nutritional therapist, neuro-linguistic programming practitioner. She's also a Reiki practitioner. You can find out more about her and her work at hjnutrition.com. Also on Facebook at Helen James Healthy Happy, and also on Instagram, Helen_James_Healthy_Happy. Can you tell us a bit more about your day in your life, what you're eating, what you're doing?
It's getting up early enough that you can take your time. And what I mean there is if you don't, the alarm clock goes off and you have to quickly get up, which is not great for our system. So it is, it's coming too slowly. And maybe having a glass of water before you, maybe it's by your bed or you go downstairs and you pour yourself a glass of water or you have a hot water. So I always have hot water in the morning, having a hot water first and then having my tea. So I wasn't depriving myself of my beloved cup of tea. But as time went on, I didn't even have my cup of tea. So I would just have my hot water and then get on with some jobs, whatever that is, get ready for the day, take the dog out for a walk. And then I might think of having that cup of tea, or it's actually now switched to a one shot coffee in the morning. So coffee has got a bad rap, but I just have that one shot in the morning and I really like it. I don't have oat milk that I used to have all the time. I have nut milk. So I have almond or cashew milk without any sugars added. I wore a blood sugar monitor, continuous glucose monitor, which you attach to your arm. And that really showed me how my glucose was spiking with oat milk. So that's not good. So I changed that to cashew milk, which has really helped, again, sort of balancing my blood sugar throughout the day, which then will balance my energy and any cravings that I have. So I really like my cashew nut milk with my coffee in the morning. And then I might have a couple of boiled eggs with a little bit of like chopped tomatoes or something for my breakfast. And then I'll get on with my day, which is normally on the computer sat down. So I do try and get up frequently, get some water. We've got bathrooms downstairs but upstairs, so I'll make myself go upstairs. My printer, not that I print much these days, is upstairs. So again, I'm getting that movement in. I'm going upstairs to get my printouts. Lunchtime, I will play with the dog, which is good because I get to play. And that's another thing I want to bring to women, is that they forget how to play. So playing with a dog is brilliant, but you can just go and play yourself. I think anything that brings you joy and that playfulness or creativity. So you might decide to do a bit of doodling with all different colored crayons. Anything goes. If you've just got 5 minutes, do that. I've recently taken up modern calligraphy. So I've got a little book and all I do is take 5 minutes and trace this calligraphy with different colored felt tips. And I love it. So you will find something that brings that. And just putting that into your day, 5 minutes can really help build up that joy. Back to work in the afternoon. And then I might think about what's for dinner. I will plan my protein source first, what vegetables I'm going to be having, and then think about flavorings. So I always have a stocked cupboard full of different spices or just a sauce I can make with the cashew milk, flavor that with some garlic. So I just throw things in, but that will come with confidence. Back in lockdown, we did actually do a boxed recipe scheme. I really liked that because it was probably something different to what I would normally be cooking. So it kind of can help you in that. So if you're in a rut with your cooking, doing something like that can help. I always do something, even if it is washing up, tidying up after dinner, rather than going straight onto the sofa. The dog will sometimes need a little walk. So that's good to do some movement once you're eating. And then I will actually just settle down to some journaling or watch a TV program. But my TV programs are not about murder mysteries or thrills or gore, anything like that. It's always light. There's just too much that is out there that can really interfere with my stress management. So I'm doing all of these things, especially in the evening, to bring that peace and calm that I wouldn't want to go through a series that is going to be sitting me on the edge of the sofa and gripping a cushion, which is just going to be heightening all of my stress hormones where I want to be winding down for bed.
We have responsibility for our own well-being, and when we need to try and support ourselves as much as possible, and that is about trying to keep things light.
Not if it's going to keep you up all night and add to your stress hormones, which are going to be a little bit wonky with the perimenopause and menopause anyway. I am aware of what's going on in the world, but I don't need to immerse myself in it. I'm very empathetic, as I imagine you are as well, Dora, but that doesn't mean we need to take on all of that negative energy into our own system. We want to be as helpful as possible to other people, be as kind as possible to other people, but we can't do that if we're not in a good state. And so looking after our own state of our mind, of our physical health, our emotional health is key.
It's been a wonderful message that you've given us today, Helen. We've been talking about mental health and menopause, and there's so many different ways that we can support ourselves. And I'm so glad you've been on the show to give women your story and give us some hope and a bit of a strategy for how to deal with it. I know you've got an 8-week program focusing on good nutrition, sleep, self-esteem and confidence and body image. I assume that's on your website.
It's not out there yet, but if you keep in touch with me, sign up to my newsletters, follow me on my socials. It's not going to be out until April because I'm just doing the final changes of what that content's going to be.
Everybody sign up for our newsletter. And listeners, I really hope you've enjoyed the show today as much as I've enjoyed presenting the show. And Helen, thank you so much for being here today to talk about menopause and mental health.
Thank you so much. I do hope that we're getting that word out there and helping all the women going through what they think is just a depression or anxiety. Get in touch with the GP, go and talk to people. It might be the start of perimenopause.
Great to have you. Thanks so much. And thank you. Goodbye.